Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and you're listening to us here on Blog Talk Radio. Go to garagetalklive.com and click on the link, or go to blogtalkradio.com/garagetalklive, and you'll be able to pick us up. The big weekend was down in Dover with the K&N Pro East Series on Friday night, the Nationwide Series on Saturday, and the Sprint Cup Series on Sunday for Race 3 in the Chase. Joining me is my partner and co-hostess, who was down at Dover all weekend, Tabby Oben. You like that?
I do.
Looked like the action on the track was not as exciting as things happen around the outside of the speedway. I know you were there from Thursday night, getting all set up in the camping area. How do you like sleeping in a tent for the past 4 days, 3 days?
That's good. Cold.
What's that?
The first two nights were good. The last night was really, really cold. We had some great weather the first Thursday night and Friday night. The weather was really nice, and you know, it was actually kind of a little too warm. We were RV, so it wasn't like we were just tent camping. We had access, you know, to all the facilities and everything like that. But Saturday night and the Sunday, it really got cold.
Well, did you go home Sunday night?
Yeah, we came home last night. We got home about midnight last night to my house. So, long day, but.
Yeah, long day, and especially if the race isn't as exciting as we all hoped and prayed it would be.
I was surprised.
I mean, what, they had four cautions? Let me bring up the El Stato page here.
I think it was a total of five. Three were for debris, and the first one was for Kenseth when he had the track bar problem, and then the second time is when he whacked the wall, but he didn't really whack the wall. He just kind of, like, tapped it enough to have to bring out the caution.
Yeah, that's right. That's where it is. Five for a total of a whopping 28 laps. Now, Denny Hamlin. And you were the one who worked this weekend.
Oh, hey.
Started off on fire, qualifying the pole, current points leader going into the race. Then it seemed like his teammate, a guy who's not in the chase, playing the role of spoiler, Kyle Busch, went on to lead 302 laps. He'd led four times for 302 laps. I mean, come on, it's... There's only 98 laps to go. I wonder, was that a record lap lead on that? Because I know Newman had led the most a few years back. I think he might hold the record for most laps led at Dover. Jimmy Johnson did lead a good part towards the end there, going for his eighth Monster Mile win, putting him on... the most all time. But get this, even though they had Bobby Allison in the booth during the pre-race, and he said, well, he might have won the most races, but I have the record for miles, because he won seven 500-mile races at the Monster Mile.
That's right.
Because he said even Richard Petty won a 300 and a 400. His weren't all 500-milers. But Bobby Allison won seven 500-milers, which puts him at 3,500 miles, and would have only put Jimmy Johnson at 3,200 miles. So he would have had to have won a ninth race to make up that kind of mileage and break that record.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of miles for both of them, really. But the fact that... you know, with Jimmy Johnson, when I saw him take the lead there, I said, oh, no, here we go.
Yeah, and you know, that's what I was thinking, too. He said, down there could be another Jimmy Johnson. And then when they didn't come in and get that extra kind of surprised me. Had, what, 10 cars on the lead lap?
I know. But
why wouldn't you just come in? You're not going to go any farther. Point. Not that bad if it was saying going first to 20th to 10. Why take that kind of gamble and look? I don't know. Did all up very well for everyone. It's wonderful things that they couldn't let anybody hear on TV.
And another thing, that 10 was brief because the last two of those 10 were the lucky dogs for the couple of late cautions that were together. For the most part, after the initial caution, when the 36 car blew the fender off, there was only eight cars on the lead lap for most of the race. I mean, the final lead lap total was six.
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of.
I mean, looked like it didn't. You couldn't hear it, but apparently Biffle had a problem, and they got on his radio, and it was every other word was beeped.
Yeah, I got to hear that replay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the comments on one of the pages was, is Kurt Busch driving the 16 car today?
Yeah, it was kind of, like I said, it was kind of interesting. Normal, typical race either. So, I mean, what's normal about yesterday's race?
I know they were saying, and we've seen this, the middle of a race is usually a green flag stretch. There's a couple cautions early, and then a couple of cautions within the last 100 laps. But this race is a quickie, 3 hours, 11 minutes, and 53 seconds. So I don't know if it was a record-setting average speed, but that's pretty fast for a Dover race. I mean, we're usually there about 3.5 hours from green to checker.
Right.
But Team Penske switching from Dodges to Fords next year because they got that gas mileage thing figured out. I mean, he came on, I believe, the last chunk of the race. And he led nine total laps. I think for the last nine laps, and he led two times for 14. So that was between staying out and taking for pit stops, waiting to come in, lead a lap on the green, and stopping. So he didn't get max points, but he has enough to take over the points lead again. And then to see Jeff Gordon and Mark Martin get between Keselowski and Johnson, that's what helped make that gap a little bigger.
Yeah.
But Kyle Busch and Hamlin, they're late pit stops for gas there because they knew they were about 7-8 laps short. And I'm surprised Johnson wasn't running a little short either, so he was able to hang on to win. But whatever they told Keselowski to do, the car gets good mileage anyway, and he was able to save a lot more fuel considering the amount of burnouts he gave yesterday.
I'm glad, though. You know, I'm very happy with who I got to see win yesterday from covering perspective. I get a side of drivers that the fans don't always get to see in their post-race interviews. And with Roger Penske sitting there, he summed everything up perfectly by basically saying, you know, this man sitting here next to me is just way too humble. And he was. He's there going, and everybody's like, well, you're in the points lead now. What do you think? He's like, it's only race number 3. There's 7 more to go. You know, it doesn't mean we're done. We got so much more work to do. He goes, right now, all I'm concerned about is we won, and now we need to move on. You know, and it wasn't, okay, I got the points lead. All right, I'm good. I got this. You know, we're not done. We have a job to do.
You know, if he can maintain the consistency throughout the next 7 races, you know, like he said in either post-race, Victory Lane interview, or probably said the same thing in the press conference. Maintain that consistency, sneak another win here and there, and it's not going to be unheard of. They're going to Talladega. He won the May race. He finished in the chase race last year. He finished fourth, so that's not out of the question of him being in a position to win this coming weekend. I'd like to see him actually win the title. I mean, I know you like Tony, but to see a team that doesn't have really any outside manufacturing help, it's a lame duck car manufacturer, they don't have combined resources with either Hendrick or Gibbs or Roush Fenway, all the, you know, their motor programs or Childress, you know, it's just Penske. There's no other Dodges. Him and Sammy Hornish qualified fourth, believe it or not, for that race yesterday. So that's just amazing what they can do with what they have. I mean, they have no other testing partners or anything like that. That's something else, I guess we could talk about, is the they're lifting the testing ban for next year. Did you hear about that on the weekend?
No, I didn't. What's going on with that?
Yeah, they're going to lift the testing ban because somebody, I think it was our buddy Floyd from NBS, and they were wondering if that was basically a help Danica rule, but she didn't crash. She didn't wreck the cars this weekend. You got to give her that much. Of course, she went a lap down on lap 20, and I think she was passed often. But it's a cup ride, and she was able to keep it intact both days at the Monster, which is not real easy to do. Normally, yesterday it looked pretty easy. It's in the And Saturday it looked pretty easy, but most of the cars were just breaking parts if there wasn't any phantom debris cautions. I think last night there was, yeah, I actually saw them pick up debris when they threw the yellow for it.
Well, that's a good thing. I don't know. I almost wish there would have been more debris cautions. That sounds horrible, but, you know, it's still good, clean racing. I mean, and they had to work in the cars, and they were lapping everybody. But, you know, a couple laps into the race, and we only have six cars on the lead lap. It was, okay. Yeah, so it's little things like that you just kind of.
Yeah, went to Dover and the Michigan race broke out.
I mean, it was not your typical Dover race at all.
I think the whole season's been like this. If you really want the truth, anyway, let's give the numbers out there. If anybody wants to chime in, numbers 646-649-1899. Let your voice be heard here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince with Tammy. I'm ready to throw the commercial we don't have, but
there's no commercials on here.
Not yet. Where's that candle place? Are they thinking of?
Hayden's Candles.
Nothing like the smell of candles.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I have from them. That's my happy time.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, because Dover was it's a quick race. Both races at Joey Logano stumped up the field Saturday.
You know what? He was another good winner.
Where's the stats? There we go. Oh, yeah, he's been on a roll of late. He swept the season in Dover, won the June nationwide race as well. Paul Menard second. That was surprising. Michael Lynette in the 43 car. Elliott Sadler is the points leader right now, finished fourth. Kyle Busch, fifth in his own car. He hasn't won in that car yet. The only time that car has been in the victory lane, Kirk drove it.
Wow.
Yeah. Cole Witt, everybody's comparing him to his teammate who's in the 7 car, but he finished sixth. You know, you got to watch out for him.
Who?
That young kid, Darrell Wallace Jr., sat on the pole Saturday.
Yes, he was very good.
I think we got to get him on. I mean, he drives a K&N series regular. He ran Friday night's race. got to start in the 20 car and stuck it on the pole. He wound up finishing 12th, which his three other nationwide races before that, he was in the top 10. So he had a little, you know, people got around him. It happens. I think he got bunched up in that restart where Casey Kane couldn't get going, and he backed half the field up. People were diving to go around him. I know Austin Dillon wound up bending up his front end because he wound up running in the back of him. Johanna Long this week, the car she drives, was driven this week by Tony Raines, and that was wound up finishing 33rd. I'm surprised at Tony Raines. I figured he'd be better than that, being he's been around so long. Of course, I think TJ on Saturday driving the Curtis Key Plumbing Chevy in the 47. I think that was says Vibration. I think that was more of a start and park, but that's not TJ's fault.
Yeah, I don't know on that one.
He doesn't make the rules on that one. Of course, in yesterday's race, he had a better day. Came in 33rd. Managed to... He was 10 laps down at the end of it, but that's not... Due to the circumstances of what happened with that first caution, everybody getting caught on making green flag stops. And that happens. That people were taking the wave around just to get back to one lap down. Now, how bad is that? Because you figure you can go, they're going basically two laps down at Dover on a green flag stop before, you know, until it cycles back around. So to get caught with a yellow like that, that kind of screwed the game plan for just about everybody.
It's really, like I said, it was really, really. The whole way that race went yesterday just wasn't normal. I don't even know how to. It just, wow, blew my.
When you were heading to the track, did you have any kind of weird feelings that it wasn't going to be a normal day?
No, not really. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it seemed normal and everything like that. I knew, you know, just in case there was rain or anything like that. But other than that, I wasn't really working. Normal part time. I mean, that was a, you know.
Yeah, it's just weird the way that race went. And I've seen it happen before like that, but this was years ago before you had the lucky dog and back when you could race back to the yellow and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that kind of made everybody that had a chance to, and then you had the lap cars line up on the inside where the lead lap cars line up on the outside. So if anybody got when they had the restarts, the lap cars, if they were pretty good at the front of the line, were able to get ahead of the leader, and if they could hold their spot until the next yellow, they got to move back around. But I guess that all changed with the double file restarts now, so they decided to do that wave around thing. But even that, it all depends on how and when you pit, when you get out, when the leader takes the, you know, has to come in the pit or take in the yellow. If you can get out before ahead of the pack, then you start in front of the leader and take the wave around before they go green, and then try to catch your way back to the field when they drop the flag. So that was pretty pretty strange to see that kind of a race in, at Dover, let alone anywhere else. You'll see something like that. If anything, it'll happen at a shorter track. Maybe Martinsville, strange thing like that will happen, you know. But I doubt you'll see, or Phoenix, some strange mile or less track that things like that can occur. It could occur on a super speedway too, but it's harder to go a lap down when you got a couple 2.5 miles to ride around before you catch up to the start-finish line. Like Pocono, hardly anybody goes a lap down on a green flag stop there. If you do, something's pretty screwed up. You had a bad pit stop or your car's just junk. But usually that's not the case at a place like Pocono because of the layout. They can't. They're basically average speed at Pocono is pretty much like Dover, only it's longer. I mean, you get faster down the straightaways, but when you hit the turns, you got to get out of it a bit more, and that's what happens. Slows your average speed down, so you have to make you can make up the time. But so you got to ride the Page car again, huh?
Good.
Man, I tell you, I don't know anymore, and you get all sorts of goodies.
I've become a junkie now for this, though. I don't know. Maybe I have to save up and get my own car to play.
You come down here to Bristol and drive around that track for free.
I don't know. It kind of feels more secure going around the track with a roll cage, but I do like racing my bike better without that roll cage. I don't know. It's a toss-up, but speed and the G-forces and everything.
Was there a roll cage in the pace car?
Well, I guess not a roll cage, so to speak, in the pace car, but protection around you.
I'm not talking about the person sitting next to you.
It was a good catch, too, for when I couldn't keep myself steady. So, yeah, that was a good catch, too. It was a lot of fun. I mean, real life things. Like, it's one thing to sit there and watch the cars go round and round, but, like, even this didn't notice in the spring when we went out for the ride. Like, the force and everything, like, we see their seats and how they're custom made and how the seats are form-fitting to keep that driver in place. Well, the reason being is, if not, that little seat belt load, yeah, you can't hold yourself still from where that track, especially there at Dover with the banking and everything like that.
Imagine in the olden days when they didn't have bucket seats and then molded seats to you. They only had the stock seats that came from the factory.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be kind of curious to see what some of their comments would be on something like that, because it was different. You know, it's not like when you're just on a flat surface going around or anything like that. It was very hard to keep yourself still. That little seatbelt didn't do much on it.
Nah, that's why they wear the 5-point. Here. That's got both shoulders, comes across at the waist, and then they have that little bar that attaches to your shoulder straps. That's the Neil Bonnet bar. That came into play after he slammed the front stretch wall at Dover and broke his sternum.
Wow.
Yeah, I was at that race. He just came down front, slammed that retaining wall, the four safer barriers between turn four and the start-finish line. And he broke his sternum. Because it's separated from the ribs. And so now they put that bar that attaches across the shoulder straps right about there in the sternum area. That's where that came from.
Wow.
And you got to meet George.
I did. Oh, it was so cool to meet George. He is awesome to meet in person. Absolute sweetheart, and I want to take the kids down for one of the track tours. I think they would love that.
Yeah, I think
one of our road trips coming up too, and make sure he does the tour because they're going to learn so much from him. He's been there; he has so much knowledge about the track and the facilities and everything that goes on there. And you know, I had to go look, and he was right. You know, there's not many; there's 25 spots left on the monument to put more plaques, so. You know, I had to go check it out. So I did go check out miles, stuff like that. We were shooting miles in the pouring down rain, so it was kind of fun. Something different to do. It's like it's pouring down rain. We're going to go take pictures.
Yeah, but that's half the fun of it. I mean, you know.
It was, you know. And, you know, I guess maybe I could say that was when it seemed kind of odd, too. Because normally, even though it's pouring down rain, everybody's still outside and doing things. And, you know, they're. You know, normally not coherent enough to realize how wet they really are. And there was really nobody really a quiet weekend this weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Really. Like there was a lot of seats and everything packed, but they looked what they've looked at in past races, so that was pretty good, and took a lot longer to get everybody back out of the track too, so I think that was another, you know, it sounds horrible, but in a way I guess it's a good thing because it takes them longer to get everybody out.
Yeah, I did notice the stands looked a little better filled than the last couple of years that I had went, and maybe even June looked like there was a little bit more of a crowd in there.
Yeah, I think it was a good fan zone was around in there, and that's another good thing to see, having fun. Got to see, I went over quick and I saw Sharon. I didn't get back over there to see her on go say hi quick on Saturday for a couple minutes, and all my running around, that's when I went out to see Miles again. Yeah, got to make sure it's still there.
There's so much to do, it's amazing you can get out there to do that.
There is.
Sunday morning is always the best place. I know.
Yeah, and I didn't even get out there Sunday morning. Lone Star did the pre-race concert, and I love Lone Star, and I did not get out there to go see them. I there just was Sunday morning with the way everything was going. Even though we had a later start time, there was still a lot of everything done that you needed to get done.
I know. I mean, we barely got things done with the two of us. I could just imagine how much crazy it was just for you by yourself.
I really have to lay out my schedule and make sure I get it and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, Lisa, when I'm there, I'm dragging you this way. You're going that way, so you got to stop that. Come over to humor mine thing, because I like to get pictures of stuff doing with drivers in the garage area, so it's, you know, for the show and the website type of deal, some things, and then you got to run back out and get the on the track or in the pits or in the garage action. So
yes, and
that's a lot to do.
Yeah, and apparently I didn't have a whole lot of coordination at one point, but it's okay. It's all good. We made it through, and you know, now it's time to start preparing for next year and getting schedules and everything like that all worked out. You know, it's. Well, you know, you take a couple of days off from your work or going to a race, it's got to be easy. And it's not easy. It's a lot of running around. You're so, hey, you know, everybody, I don't think people always realize that, you know. If you watch on pit road during a race, like especially if you're at Dover, I know, at Pocono, they wear orange vests. The photographers, we all have these really, really fashion statement orange vests. And you'll see us. You'll see us in one spot, and then we'll go to another spot. Then we'll go to another spot, or we're climbing up doing a photo counter. Or we'll be all the way down in the first pit stall, and something happens at the other end, and that driver in the 30th pit, you know, could be Jeff Gordon back there pitting, and, you know, he's got problems. So you're running from the first stall to the 30th stall. And it's a good distance, and it's a lot of ground to cover, and you got to go through the crowd. You know, there are still fans and VIP passes and stuff like that on pit road other than race teams. There's not much room on pit road behind the wall to begin with down at Dover.
No.
There's a path maybe enough to fit two people down, maybe. And, you know, when they stop and they're watching the pit stop and you got to get your way through and everything like that, you're constantly on the go, moving, and then I'll run into the media center. Pictures up on our Facebook. Went in there, dumped the up for grabbed the computer and hit a 5-minute turnaround. Go back.
Yeah. Speaking of the two garages, did you show Cindy the difference between the amount of space in the Nationwide garage and the amount of space in the Cup garage?
I'll be honest, I was so busy, I got in the Nationwide garage for a very short amount of time on Friday to shoot a little bit, and that was the only time I got in there with my schedule. I really did not get in there at all, you know, so I'm sorry I didn't get to stop in and see everybody, and you know, because I really didn't have any.
That's
with everything
just it.
That was scheduled, and, you know, a little bit, and I shot. The time was I had to climb back down after I got up there and situated, and I had to wait. That's why there's that wheel looking. They're wondering what that is. That's one of the things that they take out on pit road that they fill with the water and the generator, the power supplies and stuff like that. Well, I had to wait for him to finish filling that before I could come down. So that's why there's that interesting picture looking down at some murky looking water. That's some of that stuff they use down on pit road that you see them having. But, you know, I waited for him to fill, had to run to the media center for a press conference. And it's just like, I got Nationwide Garage for 5-10 minutes.
Wow.
I don't even think, I think I walked through, I think in the Cup Garage, we're shooting for the one practice session on the photos tower because there's a photo tower in there. And
right.
I shot for the Cup Garage. But other than that, I really didn't get to spend much time in there either. I was running around pit road and everything else.
Hmm. Well, you know, that's what we're there for. And right now, that's what you're there for. We were supposed to have C.J. Faison from Seaford, Delaware on, the K&N driver, East driver, finished seventh. Interviewed him last just September at Dover, and he couldn't make it this week, so he wants to reschedule. Darrell Wallace, Jr., new rookie phenom, coming through the Drive for Diversity program, landed a Joe Gibbs ride, won the Nationwide pole yesterday for Joe Gibbs Racing, and he actually finished second in the K&N race at Dover. Qualified on the pole there, too. The race was won by Corey LaJoie. And then, you know, I'm looking down the finishing order chart, Tam. Who do I see finishing 16th? Clay Campbell, the president of Martinsville Speedway.
Wow.
I want to have to have – he was there last year, too. I was like, why is he here? He's driving in a race. So, yeah, he likes to run the K&N series. He's like 60-some years old. He's not, you know, he's not a kid. It's not like Nick Igdalski from Pocono. You know, he's a younger guy. So we'll get a hold of see if we can get it. I'm gonna try to place that call before they book him before the Martinsville Sprint Cup race and get him on to talk about K&N driving and the chase race at Martinsville, which is. As they're getting close to the end, I think it's before they make that last Western swing through Phoenix and before they come back down to Homestead. So it's like a couple more weeks from now. I think they go, what, Talladega, then Texas, and then back to Martinsville. So we'll have to, as the season's winding down. But in the NHRA news, the Erica Enders wins again. I think it's her fourth win now. Moves up to third in the points. Jack Beckman won the Funny Car event. Antron Brown took the Top Fuel event. And Eddie Krawick for Team Vance Hines in the Harley wins again.
Those Harleys.
That's it. It's either Eddie Krawick or Andy Hines, and they flip-flop back and forth. But either way, a Harley has won every pro stock motorcycle event in the NHRA this year.
Now, you have a Harley,
but...
I do. I like my Harleys. I like my Harleys for my street, and I like my my Yamaha for my race.
Now, I know... One of the Aranas runs a Buell. Now, Buell's made by Harley, right? What's the difference between a Buell and a Harley?
Price.
Price.
They are.
It's the Toyota Yaris with bikes, right?
a Buell is not, I don't know how to phrase it nicely. It's not in the same category. Like, when I first started looking for my bikes, I liked the Buells, don't get me wrong. They're small, cheap bikes. They're made to ride a little bit and get rid of. You know, they're not They're not made for the long haul.
It's not like a touring bike. Like, it's not something you want to take to Sturgis for the...
No, it's not something I want to take on more than a 20-minute ride.
Is it more like, I mean, it doesn't even look like a crotch rocket.
No, it doesn't. It's weird. I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost like a little, I mean, you put knobby tires on them, you can almost call them a dual sport, I guess.
Okay. I have a cousin from upstate New York. She just got a Buell. I said, why not a Harley? She goes, well, it's made by Harley. I said, yeah, but it's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. I'm like, you can interchange the Sportster parts on the Buells, some of them, but it's just not, it's not a Harley. It's like they're plastic pieces on them and not metal. And yeah, it's not the same. Not it. I'm sticking with my Harley.
Doesn't sound like it's even close.
No.
That's something we are, you know, looking into as far as like bikes go. Now, your Harley, do you have drag pipes on it?
Not anymore. No, I did, but I took them off and I put high performance exhaust on there. I got Pisani 2-in-1 to help my horsepower.
I thought the whole purpose of the drag pipes was for the sound so cars can hear you. Safety.
I don't believe in that theory personally, you know, and I work in the industry and I don't believe in that. Your sound is coming out behind your bike. Like if you go under a tunnel or a bridgeway and you get on your throttle and you rev your bike up a little bit, you're going to hear that sound behind you, but you're not going to have that sound in front of you. It's going to echo around you, but it's going to echo around behind you. You know, you're leaving the sound behind you. It's kind of like when the stealth planes come over top of you and you see them, you hear them. It's the same kind of principle as that. You know, you're going to hear the rumble of the bike, yes. No matter what, it's going to make some noise. But as you're going, think about this as you're at a stoplight and you're seeing a bike coming at you. When does it get the loudest?
When it's next to you.
Exactly. When it's next to you, it's right in front of you and as it's going past you. When it's coming up to you, it's not that loud. You'll still hear it, but it's not as loud as it's just passing you. So I don't believe in that. I looked at it as I wanted function. So I went with a 2-in-1 Bassani setup on my bike so that I could have a little bit more increase in my horsepower because I have an 883, so it's not it doesn't have that much oomph, but it's also kind of a good thing for me because, you know, now that I'm getting a little bit more daring, I don't think I'd want to be having too much oomph in my bike. If I had a 1200, I'd probably be going way too fast and having too many speeding tickets, and I don't need any of them, so...
you're a racer.
I know. It's like, oh, hey, look, I'm going this fast. Can we go a little faster? But, you know, there's no more power there because it's an 883, so there's no more power there. Even with I have a high-flow air filter on there. I have the exhaust on there. I have my touring seat on there for comfort. I changed the bars out, got the windshield. You know, I've done a lot of stuff to it, but, you know, it's not garage kept by no means. It's not a show bike. It is for riding 100%.
Yeah, but I don't know. That's the thing, and there's other, I guess, Harley competition out there. It was switched from NASCAR to bike because the race was boring, folks. the Victory motorcycle, that's one of the supposedly Harley's competitors. I mean, wifey wants a bike, I think, and I'm not really too keen on bikes because I figured I'd have been dead if I had a bike by now. That's how I drive a four-wheeler. now I've got enough old speeding tickets to prove it.
Aye, aye, aye.
Well, when I was in the military, I think I had 7-in-1 year. And when I got out, I had three before I went in, which... I got my license at 17, and I went in the military a few months after that at 17. So I think I ratcheted 3 from November of 75 to November of 76. Yeah, I'm giving away my age, folks. I don't care. And when I got out of boot camp, I couldn't drive there, so... I was stationed at Lakehurst, so I got 1 on the way home from there, and then I went to Japan for a year. I didn't drive there, so I was safe. Then I came down to North Carolina, so the one I had when I was at Lakehurst for school, wiped off my record. And then I think about the last year when I got I had a 74 Charger that I roasted my 318 and put a 340 in it, so that got me a couple tickets. And then I hadn't traded that in on my Trans Am, and that got me a few more tickets.
Knock on wood, as I'm knocking on wood, I don't want to have to worry about any of that.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I get a little old for that. I think
my speed for on the track, well, maybe. I don't know, Cindy might say otherwise about my driving, but for the most part, I leave my speed on the track.
Well, down here, you know, the speed limit's 70, so it's not so bad.
Well, that's really
But when
tempting.
You're... What's that?
That's really tempting. I kind of like that speed limit.
You can set your cruise control to 74 and they leave you alone.
That's all? That's no fun.
I'm saying you could set it there. But,
that's no fun. But hey,
I'm not saying we do that all the time. It's kind of tough, you know. We got the Mustang.
Yeah.
And when we used to take that on the PA Turnpike, once we left Virginia, we plugged in the radar detector. So then it was, and you know, then we could hit the buck 10s and the buck 15s and the buck 20s. But
now I like my 95. It's like my cruising speed. But you know,
that's your cruising speed.
That's my cruising speed when I go down the track.
That's that like third gear in the Mustang.
I don't know what it is for the Jeep.
You don't want to do that in the Jeep.
I do it in the Jeep. I did it in the Jeep.
Okay. my Charger is governed. My Charger. My Dakota's governed at a buck five. I couldn't even go over that. I'm like, come on. I know you got more. Where's
Are you
that?
Serious?
I'm serious. The Mustang's governed at a buck 24, I think.
That's no fun.
Yeah, we could take the aftermarket parts. I like the new Shelby Cobras. The 2013s.
Yeah, what am I missing?
5.8 liter, twin turbocharged, 4-valve, 650 horsepower.
And it's 50,000 or 60,000?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah,
that's about right.
I know my stats.
And it goes 200 miles an hour.
I love my Mustangs, and I have to be honest, when I got my Jeep, it was between that or a Mustang, and I bought my Jeep last year.
I'll tell you, the 20...
That was not an easy decision either. You know, I couldn't pick, and I finally just, you know, even though I knew I was keeping the other one, I was like, I just wanted another Jeep, but, you know, maybe when I'm 100 years old, I'll get my Mustang.
Nah, then it won't be no fun then. You won't put... I mean, you should have got the Mustang. Which one were you looking at?
A really pretty red one.
Okay, let's take this a step.
I know.
Let's take this a step further. Was it a GT? Was it a 2012?
It wasn't. It was like an 06 or an 07. It was an older one. It was the red. It was my convertible. It was my 5-speed. It was everything I wanted. Well, no, everything I wanted would be my 67 cherry red. But it was...
Oh, let's see.
I like
was it
my
the V8
old...
though?
Yes, this was the big engine.
Okay, was what I got.
I remember, you know, this was a year ago when I was looking at it. You know, I saw it and I liked it, but I had to think of family and functionality and. Dang it, the Jeep won out.
But you had that already.
I know, but I am stuck on my Jeeps. But you know, when I get my third car, then I'll get my Mustang. Well, see, we have this all planned out perfectly. My son starts driving in 2 years. God help me.
Right.
2 years, my son is going to be learning how to drive. And I was like, wow, where'd the time go? My old
Cherokee.
Oh, yeah, he's getting my Cherokee because the Cherokee was made on his birthday, literally. It's got the stamp and everything on there. It was made on the day he was born. So he's going to get that, which now he knows because he didn't know until now. So he's probably jumping up and down screaming. He's getting that. By that time he gets that, my new Jeep will be paid off, which means Mommy's going to need a new car. Well, no, wait, I'm wrong. He gets that. He'll get my old Jeep. by the time my other son turns 16, my Jeep will be paid off because he's 2 years behind him. So then it's my turn to get a new car again. So each of my boys will have a Jeep, and then I don't know, because then we're going to pass them down the line again. So then my oldest will, being he has more driving time, will get the newer Jeep, and my youngest will go into 99.
If your oldest don't wreck your older Jeep, because that's what young people do when they first get their license. They beat them up.
Being optimistic and positive, because he's going to have to pay for it. So if he beats it up, he's not going to have wheels.
Well, you know. I thought that too. So my first car got a lot of repairs.
See, I always had to take care of my stuff. They keep wanting to take my race bike out to race, and I look at them, I said, "And you're going to pay for what you break, how?" And they just look at me, and I'm like, no. Mommy had to wait until she could afford to pay for her racing bills. When you can afford to pay for your racing bills, you can race too. You know, and it's just, I want them to realize the responsibility level that's there. It's not just, I'm going to a track, and I'm going to jump on this bike because, you know, for us, and it's going to go available to me. To go race this, but I'm as well. I want them to have that behind them. I have a big responsibility. I have to show and be respectful of, you know, my competitors and be respectful of they're putting me out there on the track. And that's the big one. Mom, just give me your bike to race. I'm like, no. Reason why you're not racing.
Yeah.
It's just right there. And, you know, I just want them to realize that, you know, I didn't get to where I was at with my racing. Putting me there. I got to get it out. I worked hard. I put the time and the effort in. And that's, you know, and if it wouldn't have been for putting the time and the effort in, I wouldn't have championships. I wouldn't have wins. You know, that's the thing I want to instill in them as they're still young and still growing. Because unfortunately, too many of the younger racers and, you know, just the people think that the world owes it to them. And I want them to realize that you don't get anywhere if you're willing to put in a lot of hard work and a lot of effort.
Well, that's just not young racers. I think that's a bunch of young people all together. But we won't go there. That's just another subject.
You know, and that's just the one thing I want to instill in them. I want them the same pride I had when I won that first championship, knowing that championship was a reflection of all the hard work and effort that we put.
Right. Well, what about when Donnie needs a new car? You know, hubby got to come before...
Wait, he has one. Oh, I forgot to tell you that. Home a new Dodge 4x4. He just brought home his new one 2 weeks ago. He has Dodge V8.
Ram?
No, I think it's another
Dakota?
Yeah, so now him and I, we have all black vehicles. So no more white.
Black.
It's all black.
No,
am I really black? The only white vehicle we have, I think we have white, so.
Oh, I won't get another black vehicle because...
They get dirty quick.
Yeah. Like, right after you wash them, they're dirty again.
Exactly.
Drive down the road, they're full of dust. It shows. That's why I'm sticking with, like, the grays and the browns. no more black cars. I had a black Turbo Eclipse in 1999.
Oh, no. See, I like my black Jeeps. They do show every the whole nine yards in them, but I like my black exterior cars.
They do look nice when they're clean. Just can't keep them. Tough keeping them that way. You got to wash them more than you drive them, and keep them in a garage, and they still get dirty.
Although I'm tempted, we had the car show when we were out with Wicked Effects Car Club, and we did a car show last Saturday, the 22nd, and
right.
I seen somebody have it decked out. Like, ooh, they had it lifted and they had it chromed out, and I'm like, oh, look what I could do with it, and I'm like, wait, but it really looked awesome. There's a lot of things you can do with these Jeeps, so you know. You know, lift kits and all that kind of stuff. So you could actually kind of.
Do you really want to go? Do you do a lot of off roading?
Actually,
on purpose.
Some of the parking lot you have to park in at the racetracks. Yeah, we kind of.
No, I mean like boonie hopping, like they do these off-road things, climbing, you know, taking rock trails up things.
I want to. I'd love to go do it, but I want to still be able to drive my car home, too. I'd love to go rock crawl.
Well, that's what you do when you get all them lift kits. You can drive it home, but just you don't have to worry about ground clearance in the snow.
You have to make sure you don't roll it or break it, though, while you're doing it to be able to drive it home.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not saying off-road racing. I'm just saying just to do like hill climbs and things like that, where you take things slow and make sure you get a winch and all that kind of stuff.
I like that. I think it's fun.
Well, what do you say we make our picks for Talladega? You've had a long weekend. We'll call it a shorty tonight and let you get some rest.
Oh, I go back to enjoy my bed because the rest wasn't very long-lived last night. I got home and woke up with the dog. So that
you went to work today?
I still went to work after being up half the night sick, yeah, I did.
How did Cindy get to the airport?
Mom took her.
Okay.
And then she got stuck waiting for her plane, and I think she just took off like a half hour ago. It wasn't that long. Who do I want to pick?
Talladega cha-cha-cha.
Talladega cha-cha-cha. All right. Oh.
I'm going to bring up this past race, which is the May one, and I'll bring up last year's chase race.
Hmm.
How do I do that?
Who do I want to pick?
All righty.
Who's our defending race winner?
Defending race winner? Who won yesterday?
Brad.
He's the one who won in May. Last chase, another current chaser won that race, Clint Boyer.
I was just looking at Clint, too. Hmm.
I'm not sold on them guys, though. You know, Truex had another. I'm not sold on Truex either. Truex is not a good drafter. Every time I've seen him try to draft with somebody, he never stays tight enough, and he always wound up backing up.
How about Carl? He just needs a good run.
Let's see. How did he do there last year in the championship run? Actually, he didn't fare too well. 11th last year and 31st this year. But he started 7th, so he looks like he had some mechanical problems.
All right, we're picking Carl.
You're going to go with Carl.
I'm going with Carl. See, Dakota was up on my lap, too, so, you know, she was helping me pick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's Carl.
You got concrete Carl, even though he didn't do so good on the concrete. I'm going to stay away from the Ford drivers. I have to go back to Toyota. I'll take the 18.
Okay.
Kyle Busch. He pushed Keselowski to the win in June because you don't know whether he got the pack. It's the new rules. It's either the pack and the tandem to some work with the, you know, they're running both in the spring race. So last year was just the two-car tandem. And there was Clint Boyer being pushed by Jeff Burton, but then Clint was driving a Childress car. Dave Blaney came in third that year. Brad Kay came in fourth. So he's pretty consistent, but being he won, I'm not going to pick him this week. I don't want to. So I'll give me the 18. I'll go
okay.
Kyle.
That'll work.
Post that up on the site. Anybody else want to make a pick? Go to Garage Facebook or Facebook page, Garage Talk Live, and post your picks.
That's right.
And anything else you wanted to plug before we boogalooed?
Don't
Girls
forget
getting
Thursday.
The facts on Thursday.
Yeah, we'll be there Thursday. No rain, so we don't have to worry about that. We're indoors again, so we're safe.
What's that?
I said they won't have to worry about rain because we're indoors, so it's all good. But, yeah, that's about it, you know. And don't forget to check out lots and lots and lots and lots of pictures. So, you know, that'll keep you all busy.
Yep. Go to GarageTalkLive.com or photo galleries, or I think you have them linked up pretty good there. I like the new, check out our new homepage diamond plate scheme.
Got to have some changing up, you know. Can't always be the same.
Yeah, that's what happens to me. Too much complacency.
Yep, always got to be different.
So, sorry it's a short show this week. We'll probably have some... See what guests I could line up for next Monday. Our guest tonight had to bail. I think I saw pictures of him deep sea fishing, so he might still be on a boat. But he's a young kid, you know, and figured we'd have him on, so we might have him back next week, and you know, maybe I'll line up guests for the whole 2 hours.
That'll work.
All right. See you all next week. Bye, Tam. Good job at Dover this weekend. Glad you had fun, as well as all the work you did putting stuff up in a couple. Check out our Tammy's articles. She's got a couple of them posted.
Yes,
did some writing this weekend.
I did. They had some more too, so don't worry.
Alrighty. So keep checking up on our Facebook page. We'll post stuff as it comes through, and we'll see you all next week.
Yep, we'll see you next week.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.